We have all kinds of technology to help preserve our movie memories these days. All of the nominated movies for the Oscars are either still playing or downloadable in advance of the awards on Sunday night.
Let me ask you, if you were a white male, would you wish to be an engineer?
I wouldn't have to. I'd already be one.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you want to be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
I gotta maintain our boat now. I work on George's boat 2 days a week. I got two girlfriends, and I'm in a band. You're a janitor in Quincy. What the hell do you care where you live?
It's been a very good year for movies, and with everything downloadable and rentable on demand, we can rerun the Oscar contenders from years past. And some years, the best picture was a real dog, or wild dog, in the case of Dances with Wolves. Do you remember Dances with Wolves? It beat out Goodfellas, amazingly, which I'll bet you have probably watched a dozen times since it was released in 1990. Well, Mark Harris did this even deeper download for a year beloved in his movie memory, 1967. The Graduate, Bonnie and Clyde, In the Heat of the Night. And even though Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and Dr. Doolittle, the two other 1967 Best Picture nominees, look a bit vinegary today, all in all, it was a very good year. Author Harris wrote about those five films in his 2008 book Pictures at a Revolution, but on the 50th anniversary of all of them together, we wondered if we might eventually look back on this year as a Hollywood crossroads moment.
1967, of course, was a moment when the civil rights movement, when Vietnam, racial issues, women's issues were starting to be on the front burner. And, you know, you see in everything from the kind of nihilistic, chaotic violence in Bonnie and Clyde to the depiction of race relations in The Heat of the Night to the depiction of the generation gap in The Graduate, which is something that movies really hadn't tackled before. You see movies beginning to get an appetite to cover that kind of material.
And let's talk about the story of Bonnie and Clyde, because every decade when I revisit that movie, it gets more and more amazing.
This year's Miss Bonnie Parker.
Glad to meet you.
I'm Clyde Barrett.
Clyde.
We robbed banks.
But the story of how it got made is maybe even more bizarre than Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary because Bonnie and Clyde seems so much of its moment, but it was actually hatched 4 years earlier in 1963 by David Newman and Robert Benton, two writers at Esquire who were really influenced by French movies of the time, by François Truffaut and Jean-Luc Godard. So Bonnie and Clyde went through many, many kind of almost on its way to the screen. There was a moment when Truffaut was going to actually direct it, when Godard was going to direct it, when Bob Dylan and Shirley MacLaine might have ended up being the stars of it. And
wow.
And yet, you know, after 4 years, it finally comes to the screen with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, and it seemed in the middle of 1967 to have been hatched right out of that moment rather than to have been in the works for 4 years.
Let's talk about The Graduate, because The Graduate retains the qualities of Mike Nichols' just surprise and sense of comedy and Dustin Hoffman's sense of repressed sexuality. And that, again, holds up.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson, here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Oh, yeah. And it's sort of hard to overstate the impact that The Graduate had. I mean, there wasn't much of an indie movement back in 1967, but The Graduate was an independent film. And it opened at the end of 67. It played in theaters continuously for 2 years. And by the time its run was over, it was the third highest grossing movie in history up to that time.
In the Heat of the Night won the Oscar for Best Picture. What did it mean then? And what do you think it's comparable to as we contemplate the Oscars for this year?
That win for In the Heat of the Night taps into a kind of longstanding Academy tradition, which is that the most daring movie, the most critically beloved movie, is rarely the one that wins.
What do they call you up there?
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Mr. Tibbs? Well, Mr. Wood, take Mr. Tibbs, take him down to the depot, and I mean boy like now.
Usually the Academy is daring enough to nominate something like The Graduate or Bonnie and Clyde, but not quite forward-looking enough to give it Best Picture.
In 1967, the movie-going public was saying goodbye to the movie musical, and Dr. Doolittle was sort of the last example.
A man who walks with the animals, talks with the animals, grunts and squeaks and squawks with the animals.
How do you think Dr. Doolittle relates to La La Land, which is something that the movie-going public is saying hello to for the first time in a while?
The interesting thing about Dr. Doolittle is, it didn't do well. It was very expensive. It really was near the end of the kind of traditional Hollywood musical. Those musicals dragged on for a few more years. When I think of La La Land, I think of something more like Cabaret, which came along just 5 years after Dr. Doolittle, and really it seemed to point toward a new possibility for movie musicals, and yet it turned out to be a kind of one-of-a-kind movie. It didn't spark a whole trend in more modern, more daring movie musicals.
In terms of, the indie world that has transformed Hollywood, and, movies are coming from all different directions and places nowadays, what do the nominees for Best Picture say about the current moment in America right now and what we were too scared to even come close to back in 1967?
You never know whether an Oscar year, a lineup of Best Pictures, perfectly represents the year or not for a while. But I like this set of 9 nominees this year because you really have an extraordinary range of possibilities that show you that even traditional movies are changing. I mean, one of the most straight-up crowd-pleasers that's nominated this year and the highest-grossing movie of the 9 is Hidden Figures. And yet, it stars 3 African-American women, which is almost unprecedented for a mainstream Hollywood movie, let alone for one that it turns out to be the biggest hit in the Oscar lineup.
Mark Harris, author of Pictures at a Revolution and 5 Came Back, talking about 1967 and thinking about this year's Oscars. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you so much, John.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.